Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. My name's Lorcan Doherty, and today we're talking about jailed rappers and the boundaries of freedom of expression. On Tuesday the 16th of February, the Catalan rapper Pablo Hasél was arrested at the University of Lleida. Hasél, whose real name is Pablo Rivadulla, has been sentenced to 2 years and 9 months in jail for two cases glorifying terrorism and insulting the Spanish crown in his tweets and lyrics. His arrest has led to widespread protests in cities and towns across Catalonia and indeed Spain, with dozens of arrests and injuries following clashes between protesters and police. And it has reignited the debate around Spain's controversial so-called gag law. Joining me in Filling the Sink today are Christina Tomás-White and Natasha Morin. We're recording this on Thursday the 18th of February. Christina, you witnessed firsthand the clashes in Barcelona this week. We'll hear more on that shortly. But first, Natasha, do you want to give us some of the background to this Pablo Hasél case that's brought the protesters out?
Yeah, so as you said, Lorcan, there's been two cases which have led to this 2 year and 9 month sentence. Pablo Hasél was first sentenced in 2014 to 2 years, and that was relating to some lyrics he wrote, which the courts stated glorified terrorism because they talked about the Spanish communist armed group Grupo, and they advocate resistance to the state, and also ETA, the Basque terrorist group.
But these are groups that are no longer active, which is something that Hasél argued in court as well.
Yeah, that's what Hasél's lawyers argued. And this second sentence is a 9 month sentence, which he received in 2018, once again for glorifying terrorism, but also for insult against the crown and slander against Spanish defense forces.
Okay, so these sentences, as you said, 2018, but they've come to light now, Christina, because, I mean, it's taken a while with appeals
and
things.
Right. So the first one, he didn't actually have to go into prison because it was a suspended sentence on the condition that he wouldn't offend in the next 3 years. But because this other case came to light and there was a conviction, and now he has to go to prison for both of them.
What kind of things are we talking about then? What are these lyrics and tweets? Can we say them? Are we going to be sent to jail?
Well, we have an article and they haven't come article about them, and they haven't come after us yet. So I think we can talk about them.
We'll make it clear that
for journalistic purposes.
We'll make it clear that these are quotes.
Yeah. So his earliest tweet that was stated in the case came in 2014, and it said, "I'm proud of those who responded to police aggressions." Within his lyrics, there's a song called Death to the Bourbons, and I think that's been a main focus in his latest sentence.
The Bourbons, then, that's the Spanish royal family. So death to the Spanish royal family is what Pablo Hasél's song lyrics, and that was cited in the case, as you said.
I mean, he doesn't only call for their death, he also calls them corrupt, quote, fucking mobster of a king, unquote.
And aside from freedom of speech, he has also been involved in other cases as well, Christina.
Right. There was a case where he assaulted a journalist a few years back and he was sentenced because of that. And there was another assault that he was involved in. I think he attacked a witness in a certain case. So he hasn't been, you know, generating a lot of sympathy among certain people. But it should be clear that he's been sent to prison because of the content of his songs and his tweets. It's not because he has assaulted people that he's been in prison.
So then a couple of weeks ago, after all the appeals processes had been exhausted, Spain's National Court gave Hasél 10 working days to voluntarily come into prison, which he didn't do, Natasha.
No, he did not. So he was due to go into prison on the 12th of February. And instead, he made it clear that he wasn't going to hand himself in, that he found it embarrassing, I think he said. And what he did was on the Monday, the 15th, he barricaded himself into the University of Lleida with some supporters. And this only lasted a day because the police came in the next day on Tuesday, the 16th, and took Hasél into prison.
Right, and they had to remove like each one of his supporters individually before getting to Hasél and arresting him.
Actually, just as we're recording this, we've got the news that A court in Lleida, his hometown, has sentenced him to 2.5 years in prison for an unrelated case. It's not related to free speech. It's for threatening a witness. So that means that he could spend up to 6.5 years in jail in total as things stand. And because of those other cases, Hassel hasn't maybe gained the sympathy of everyone, it's fair to say, but there's been a huge outpouring of support for him from artists, musicians, journalists, various petitions.
Right, yeah, hundreds of artists and writers and journalists have signed multiple petitions calling for his release.
Javier Bardem,
Pedro Almodóvar, and Alba Flores, who was in Money Heist.
Serrat, a singer.
Joan Manuel Serrat, yeah, a Catalan singer. And there's also been protests on the streets as well since Hassel went into jail. Cristina, on Tuesday night, you went along to the protests in Barcelona. Let's take a listen.
Pablo Hassel's arrest on Tuesday morning at the University of Lleida, when he failed to hand himself in voluntarily within the court-mandated 10-day period, sparked a wave of demonstrations throughout Catalonia and even a few other cities in Spain. My colleague Alan Ruiz-Terol and I went to the one in Barcelona, which started at Plaza de Cips, a large square between the city's Gracia and Sant Gervasi neighborhoods, a change from the usual action that we see at Via Laietana or Plaza San Jaume in the center. One of our first impressions was that the protest was huge, much bigger than what we were expecting or had actually seen since the beginning of the pandemic. According to the city council, there were around 1,700 people there on Tuesday evening. It all started out very peacefully, with supporters playing Hassel's music, chanting slogans against the Spanish monarchy and in favor of free speech, and, of course, calling for the musician's release. A number of prominent figures were there too, including Jordi Cuixart, one of the jailed pro-independence leaders, who was able to attend thanks to his temporary prison leave permit. Cuixart argued that, quote, to say obvious things like that the Spanish royal family is corrupt, unquote, should not result in prison sentences for anyone, let alone an artist. After a while, the crowd slowly began to make its way towards the Spanish National Police Station on Via Augusta, hidden away between Gala Placidia and Diagonal. As we followed the protesters, we noticed that a restaurant, open for takeout only, of course, was blasting one of Pablo Hassel's songs, so we stopped to ask the owner about it.
Libertad de expresión. Ya está, simplemente eso.
He said he was playing Pablo Hassel's music in the name of freedom of expression and seemed disturbed by the day's events, saying it reminded him of Spain's transition to democracy after dictator Francisco Franco's death. Another person we spoke to later on in the crowd said that he thought it was important to stand up for free speech, but was surprised so many people had come out to support the arrested rapper, especially during the pandemic. And he said that he hadn't really known much about him until the legal cases against him came to light. The demonstrators we saw Tuesday night were overwhelmingly peaceful, but the closer we got to the police station, the tenser things got. Some protesters had built barricades out of dumpsters and even scaffolding from a nearby construction site and were throwing beer cans, glass bottles, stones, and even broken bricks at the police, who responded by shooting foam bullets. Dumpsters were set on fire, as were a handful of motorcycles that went up in flames, and a bank office was ransacked. At one point, we could see an officer limping down the street, held up by two of his colleagues. By the end of the night, in Catalonia alone, at least 15 people were arrested, while 17 police officers and 33 protesters were injured, including a woman who ended up losing an eye. And this was only the first night of unrest. These scenes were repeated in cities across Catalonia on Wednesday and show no signs of letting up.
So as you said there, Cristina, a woman lost her eye on Tuesday night, 19 years old.
Yeah, she's quite young. Initially, they were reporting that she was injured right above her eye, but apparently they haven't been able to save it.
And at the time of recording here, it hasn't been confirmed that it was a foam bullet, but the police have said that they've used these
phone
bullets.
Right, right. The Catalan Interior Ministry said that on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, they shot 420 rounds of foam bullets in Barcelona and elsewhere in Catalonia. And though it hasn't been confirmed that she was actually hit by a foam bullet, chances are she was.
Yeah, the injuries are consistent with,
right,
with that.
Right, which is what a human rights group, Iridia, has been saying.
They were the ones that first reported the injury. And these foam bullets, there's a bit of a debate around them because the Catalan police aren't actually allowed to use rubber bullets, which are generally regarded as more dangerous. But obviously it seems like you can easily do damage as well with the foam bullets too.
Yeah, rubber bullets were outlawed in Catalonia a few years back, but Spanish police can still use rubber bullets. Every few months, whenever there's a huge protest, it's not uncommon to hear of someone who loses an eye.
Hassel's case has hit the headlines this week, but it's not the only prominent case involving a rapper and free speech.
Yeah, there was actually a very similar case that went down around the same time Hassel was sentenced in 2018. The Mallorcan rapper Valtonyc was sentenced to prison time over, once again, glorification of terrorism in his lyrics, as well as slander, defamation against the crown.
So very similar cases.
So very similar. And he was also given a period, for him it was 8 days, to hand himself into police. But what Valtonyc decided to do was fly to Belgium and go into exile rather than end up in prison. And actually, Valtonyc's case is still ongoing. There's been lots of extradition appeals, but the Belgian courts have upheld his exile, his refuge, under this guise of freedom of speech.
And also, I think it's also important to note, or just interesting to know, that neither of these rappers were that well known until they started having legal trouble. They weren't famous musicians before that.
So the court cases have actually brought more attention on the lyrics and on the tweets and things like that?
Definitely, definitely. I don't know how many people would have heard of them otherwise. It's kind of like the Barbra Streisand effect. You know, if you point something out, everyone is going to look at it. Maybe if you just ignore it, nobody's going to notice it.
So these cases have come about because of a 2015 law, officially called the Public Safety Law, but it's commonly known as the gag law.
Yeah, the Ley Mordaza. It was passed by the People's Party in 2015 when they had an absolute majority in Spain's Congress. And essentially what it means is that you can be fined. It's not always the case, but you can face a fine for protesting in front of Congress or, for example, for taking or sharing photos of police officers.
But recently the Socialist Podemos coalition that's in government in Spain has said they want to reform this law so that artists don't end up going to jail for their work, or at least they'll only be tried for their content rather than ending up in prison.
Yeah, so if it incites violence, then they can go to trial, but it might not necessarily bring a prison sentence. Hassel's lawyer said that the Spanish government said this to him a year ago, but obviously nothing has changed in the last year, so it's not much good to him at the minute. What about the Catalan government?
Yeah, the Catalan government said that they're not surprised about this imprisonment because obviously currently there are 9 pro-independence jailed leaders that are in prison for wanting people to express themselves in a referendum, so it comes to them as no surprise.
There has been some criticism of the Catalan government because, of course, the Catalan Interior Ministry does have jurisdiction over the Mossos, the Catalan police force. But because it was a court order, they still had to go in and arrest Pablo Hasél and take him to prison because a judge had ordered for him to be, you know, to serve his sentence. One of the things that they could be doing, however, is looking into police violence at protests and, mandate the exact behaviors that police can or cannot carry out against protesters. That's something that they could do. In Catalonia, they have done it to an extent, you know, by looking into legal use of force that the Mossos can employ. But, you know, there's still protesters losing their eyes to foam bullets. So there's definitely more that could be done here, too.
On CatalanNews.com, we have lots of stories about the case that we've been discussing today and the issues around free speech. There's an interview on there with Srirak Plipat, the director of Free Muse, who are a Denmark-based organisation which advocates for artistic freedom. They pointed out that Spain signed up to a UN Human Rights Council article that stated that it would guarantee freedom of expression and opinion by revising its criminal code to ensure that its crimes are in line with internationally recognized definitions. So for them, it's come as a surprise, the jailing of Pablo Hasél. They say that governments can restrict freedom of expression, but it has to be necessary and proportional under human rights law. And in Hasél's case, Plipat argues, the act itself does not justify or pass the necessity and proportionality test at all. So as I said, that full interview's on CatalanNews.com, and do follow us on social media and check out our website to stay up to date on developments. Time now for our Catalan phrase. Natasha, it's your last week with us.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done. I'm going.
So, I mean, Christina, what should we say to her? She's on her way.
Que vas-y
bé. Que vas-y bé, of course. Que vas-y
well
way.
Well, I hope so.
May it go well.
Yeah. That's something that you hear all the time on the street, so it's definitely a good Catalan phrase. Well, it's been great having you, Natasha. Thanks very much.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a lovely time. And keep listening to the Catalan News podcast, even if I'm not on it.
Yes, good sound advice. Thanks as well to you, Christina, this week as well. You will be back with us, I hope.
I should be.
And thanks as well to you for listening. And we'll have another episode of Filling the Sink for you next week. Until then, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, take care. Bye for now. Adieu.